A familiar saying by Howard Newton states, "People forget how fast you did a job, but they remember how well you did it." This, however, does not hold true in the world of patents. Instead, patent laws require that you both apply for a patent for your invention quickly, so you're the first, and also develop your invention well, which means enabling your invention, that is, teaching a person in your field how to make and use your invention. This enablement requirement is measured on a sliding scale from the perspective of someone of ordinary skill in your field. An invention described in a patent is deemed enabled if it only requires trivial or reasonable experimentation to realize your invention. The person does not have to successfully practice the invention on the first try, but they should be able to do so with some tweaking. If your description of your invention is inadequate because it merely suggests an idea or requires undue experimentation, then the invention is not enabled because you're asking someone else in your field to do too much inventing of their own. Enablement becomes more difficult because the inventor wants to be prescient and appear to anticipate future modifications of their invention as though she had contemplated it all along. However, you can have a valid patent only with respect to those future developments that you have enabled in your patent, that is, those aspects of your invention that you have shown how to realize. A case decided last month, Maxell Corp. versus Seagate Technology, dealing with a patent from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology for a disk drive, illustrates these issues. The patented disk drive was operated by using electron resistance. Although the description in the MIT patent only included resistance levels up to 11.8%, the patent broadly claimed any device utilizing resistance over 10%. In this case, a federal judge determined that the patent claimed much more than it had actually enabled. The court concluded that subsequent disk drives with higher levels of electron resistance were essentially different and better performing inventions that were not within the scope of the MIT patent, since those aspects were not enabled. Hence, MIT's patent could not be enforced against companies practicing the patented invention at levels of resistance above 11.8%. Why then did MIT not wait to file for a patent until the invention had been developed further or until MIT could realistically claim to anticipate these higher resistance levels? For one, the patent regime rewards being first. The first inventor who applies for a patent generally gets the patent. Additionally, there are legal rules that can also preclude patentability. For instance, a patent is barred if the invention is disclosed in a publication that is published more than a year before the patent application date. University researchers gain prestige and reputation and obtain external funding by being the first to publish new technologies in peer-reviewed publications. Hence, university researchers want to publish very early. The problem arises then that the university must also apply for a patent at an early stage of development and risk that a judge might later say, as in the MIT case, that certain variations of your invention have not been realized by you. If the university does not file for patent early, they risk being barred from patenting the technology altogether. The conflict is clear. The being first requirement of patent law, combined with a university researcher's incentive to publish their research early, will continue to cause dilemmas such as that illustrated by the recent MIT case. I'm Jay Kaysen.